Lecture 11, Athenian Empire and Spartan Hegemony.
In this lecture, I wish to study the classical period in Asia Minor, and the earlier part of this lecture is going to depend very heavily on the historian Herodotus, an Ionian Greek, born about 490 BC, is the subject of the great king of Persia. And I always have a vision at around age 10 or 11 that he was in his native city, Halicarnassus, and probably saw contingents of his city's fleet sail out to join the great expedition of Xerxes against Athens, and was probably tugging on the cloak of his mother asking why, and mom probably just sort of dismissed him, and so he ended up becoming a historian. Anyway, that's a conceit that has often been voiced in among classicists. And Herodotus does give us a very good insight into the conflict between the great king of Persia and the Greek city-states. Asia Minor was a good deal of that battlefield, and as I mentioned in the last lecture, it was rebellion among the Greek cities and peoples of Asia Minor under Greek influence that precipitated the Persian Wars. And the Persian Wars are seen as a pivotal point in Greek civilization, as marking the change from the archaic, the early age, where a nascent Greek civilization defined itself, into the classical period. And that would be the period of the 5th and 4th centuries BC, and the classical period ends, usually the date is given with the death of Alexander the Great, either on the 11th or 13th of June, 323 BC. Seldom can we be so precise in ancient history, so I just throw that in as a piece of information. In any case, going back to the beginning of the classical age, that rebellion of the Ionians rocked the western satrapies of the Persian Empire and eventually drew the great king of Persia himself west to go on campaign to humble the Greek cities of Athens and Sparta, who had assisted the Ionian rebels. And the result of that Persian war, the Persian defeat, expulsion from Europe, and then the rise of the Athenian Empire had profound consequences for the whole of classical civilization and especially for developments in Asia Minor. Well, let's examine that Ionian revolt first in a little more detail. I mentioned in the last lecture that the banner was raised by this character called Aristagoras, who was at the time tyrant of Miletus. And Herodotus, as many a good Greek historian, sees events more in terms of personalities rather than the greater forces I discussed last time, that is, Ionian discontent with Persian-imposed tyrants, a sense that somehow they were losing their primacy in the cultural and economic life of Asia Minor, that they were falling behind their mother city, Athens, who was revered as the city that founded many of these colonies back in the Dark Age. Herodotus tells us that the tyrant Aristagoras, who was put in power in the city of Miletus, which was the leading city of Ionia, that this tyrant felt that he had to instigate the revolt because he had screwed up. He had attempted carry out an expedition against a Greek island, Naxos. He'd persuaded the Persian authorities in Asia Minor that this would be a good idea to win favor with the Greek, with the great king, and the expedition was a dismal failure, and therefore he had no recourse other than to play the role of national hero. And so he instigated a rebellion rather than showing up at the Persian court of Susa and offering his head as an explanation for failure to the great king at that time, a man named Darius I. He was assisted by his father-in-law and apparently a remote cousin as well, a man named Histiaeus, who had been the previous tyrant of Miletus but had been summoned to Susa to advise King Darius on Greek affairs. Histiaeus was languishing in a gilded captivity in Susa, the Persian capital, and actually sent word to his successor and son-in-law Aristagoras to incite a revolt so that he could be sent west as the Greek expert and defect to the rebels. Now, we're not sure of the truth of all of these shenanigans. We are told that Histiaeus sent word to his brother, his son-in-law, by means of a messenger who carried a very innocuous letter but had tattooed on his head the message to revolt. What Aristeas had done is shaved the head of the slave, tattooed the message, let the hair grow back in, and then sent the messenger off on the royal highway so that when he was stopped, they searched, they found this letter that was, you know, said a few nasty things about Darius and said, you really shouldn't do that, and let him on his way. And then when he arrived at Miletus, his head was shaved, and the message was, revolt now, love Histiaeus.